There is a phrase that I hear thrown about in culture, and as I was thinking, getting ready for this sermon, I was thinking about talking about it, but I wondered how widely known it was. And I never quite knew how often it got used or what to make of it. So I did what any good millennial would do when I'm trying to figure this out. I opened up my computer, I opened up a Google search box, and I typed the words in to see what would show up. And when I did, I typed in these words. If you're not afraid, you're not paying attention. Maybe you've heard this phrase before. And I thought maybe one or two articles would have this there. Instead, I found pages of things with this title. If you're not afraid, you're not paying attention. This exact headline. I found one written March 15th with that title, telling people what they really needed to be afraid of was COVID. If you're not afraid, you're not paying attention, which seems reasonable. I found one from January 2025, talking about the new Trump administration. If you're not afraid, you're not paying attention. I also found one from January of 2021, talking about the new Biden administration. If you're not afraid, you're not paying attention. I found one, this was my favorite, I found one on a thrash metal blog. The loudest, maybe my least favorite version of music in the whole wide world, where I think that free speech is probably paramount in that world. And this was the title of the article. If you're not afraid, you're not paying attention, because they're going to censor thrash metal music in America coming soon. And so you should be really scared. I found mommy blogs scared of everything, from unvaccinated kids to vaccines. I found all kinds of people, page after page after page, of all of the things that we should be scared of. By the end of reading this for 15 minutes, I was nervous. I felt a little short of breath. I was anxious. I was asking myself, am I afraid enough in this world? Like, I really need to think about all these things. And if this world isn't enough, most mornings when I turn on the news, there's some sort of weather report that kind of scares me, which takes us into the story that we're talking about today. Because it says in the scripture that Jesus led them into a boat, led the disciples into a boat. The disciples followed him, and a windstorm suddenly arose on the sea, so great that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but Jesus was asleep. Just another thing to be scared of. What happens if we're out on a boat and it tips over, and what will we do? Guess what? Jesus should be afraid, but he's not paying attention. This is not new for Jesus, by the way. He's never afraid enough. Often when I read the scriptures, I'm going, you should be a little more worried. And the Wigs Bible study, our Wednesday midday Bible study, has been watching The Chosen, the series The Chosen, and talking about it. And we've been noticing how often that Jesus is very calm while all the disciples are very anxious. But Jesus isn't scared of the crowds. They're angry with him. They're mad at him. He doesn't seem afraid. He's not scared of sick people. Even when he might catch their disease, he's not afraid. He's not scared of powerful people, even when they have the power to put him in danger. And here, the boat is rocking back and forth, and he doesn't care at all. Jesus, I have a question. How could you be so irresponsible? You need to be smart like us and be scared of things that should scare you. Be afraid with us, the disciples say, because it's how we stay safe. It's how we keep ourselves safe. We watch the news, we talk to our friends, we read the blogs, we imagine scary scenarios on repeat, and we worry about them, and that is what keeps us from danger, right? Anybody resemble these comments just a little bit? Me too, some days. But instead, we see what Jesus says. And they went and woke him up, saying, Lord, save us. We are perishing. And Jesus said to them, why are you afraid? And then just to turn the knife, he says, why are you afraid? You of little faith. Afraid, Jesus? We're the only ones being reasonable here. You're taking a nap on a sinking ship. What do you mean, why are we afraid in the middle of this? I want to point this out too, by the way, because this is one of the verses that I remember learning as a kid and hanging on to. I'd be scared, and I needed something that would help me feel better. If I got in a scary spot, we can just trust Jesus. Why are you afraid? He's not afraid of the storm, so we don't need to be either. I think this story means more now. I think it's more important now than even it was when we were little. I only have my version of history. I'm a grand total of 43 years old at this point in time. But I firmly believe that something in our nation changed in the late 90s and early 2000s. And we went from being sort of optimistic oriented to something else. Back then, back when I was a kid, when I was little, fear was something that we had when something bad happened, right? Like, you would see something and then you'd be scared about it, or you'd experience something and you'd be scared about it. Now, especially as Americans, we have a tendency to orient ourselves to the world in a fear-first scenario. Just be afraid all the time. Don't just be afraid when you're in a windstorm. Be afraid that there might be a windstorm, and be scared that things won't warn you of that, and be scared of all the scenarios that might happen. Don't just be afraid when you're in an unsafe situation. Think a lot about how things might hurt you. Spend a lot of time thinking about this, and then you'll be safe. You're never going to believe this, but when I was a kid in the early 90s, and even the mid-90s, my parents would do this thing where I would walk out the door in the morning, and they would say, "You need to be home by dinner time." And they didn't know where I was or what I was doing. Now, that's a really scary idea. Then, that was just Tuesday. Like, my mother didn't want me messing up her house, so she closed the door and sent me outside in the summer. I didn't even have a GPS tracker on me. Can you believe it? She just was like, bye. And now we're like, oh my gosh, can you imagine all of the things that could happen and would happen and should happen? I'm not sure information has helped us all the time. Our leaders, presidents of all stripes, give speeches where they tell us who we should be afraid of. The news make lists of how we might be in danger, and we consume them to no end. And when the disciples are gathered around Jesus, he says their fear makes them of little faith. I don't want you to hear this as a lecture. We're going to change this a little bit, I promise. But I think we have to ask this question, why would he say this? I think his message is simple. He's challenging something that is deep in the disciples' bones and is deep in ours as well. And it's this assumption, that if we can't keep ourselves safe, we can't be safe. We have this in us. If we can't keep ourselves safe, then we can't be safe. The disciples are going, why are we stuck in this very unsafe boat? We are going to get thrown over. Jesus, you're the one who's supposed to keep us safe. But the truth is that Jesus isn't caring for them in this moment. He's off taking a nap. He's not even with them. What he does makes them safe. But the question is who have they been talking to the whole time? Who have they been talking to in this whole process? Jesus is asking, why are you afraid? Which seems almost unfair. The storm is real. The danger is real. Their fear makes sense. Boat's shaking. They're wondering what's going to happen. They're going, where is shore? And how can we swim there? And what can we hang on to? But notice this. Jesus doesn't say there's nothing to be afraid of. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say there is nothing out there to be afraid of, which means what he's talking about isn't about the storm. Instead, he's saying this: fear reveals what we believe. When things are calm, it's easy to trust that God's got them. But as things fall apart, the question is, where do we go and what do we do? It's not the storm. It's what they think the storm means. They assume that if there's chaos around them, God has lost control. If they're in danger, they've been abandoned. If they're afraid, that is the correct response that will care for them. But don't forget this. Jesus is actually in the boat with them. He's there the whole time. Think about how strange that moment is. The disciples are afraid of dying while the one who has the authority to protect their life, who has the authority over life itself, is napping on the second deck. The storm is loud, but Jesus is greater. And I think the question is will we trust Jesus above the noise, above the things that are all around us, and say, I actually think that Jesus has something to say into the midst of this? What does fear do to us? Well, when you're afraid, you become convinced that your world is just yours. I'm only safe if I can keep myself safe. You miss the truth that's around you. That's what we said earlier. But that's not the idea that we can only be safe if we can keep ourselves safe just isn't true. Jesus says there's another way, not denying danger or pretending everything is fine, but living with trust in the middle of uncertainty, trust that Jesus is with them. And then Jesus acts. He goes, see, let me show you how simple this is. And he just says, peace, be still. And the waves are calm. We know what he does. He calms the whole storm. And we can get so busy thinking about what we're afraid of, we can forget this. Who are we with? Who are we with? If Jesus is who this passage says he is, then he's not surprised by your situation. He's not overwhelmed by your situation. He's not shocked at how scary the world is or how difficult things are. Instead, Jesus is with us. We live in this culture, and I'm going to tell you, I'm not trying to push anybody's button. We all share in this together, but we live in a culture that's addicted to being afraid. Whether it's news cycles or social media or politics or anxiety about our physical or emotional or mental health or parenting fears, the message we hear is be afraid all the time, because if you're afraid, it will keep you safe. But Jesus asks this question, why are you afraid? And I think he's asking this question for a very specific reason. And I never thought about it until probably maybe a year and a half ago. They're all in the boat. And the storm is all around them. Why does it take so long for them to wake Jesus up? What are they doing? They're like, I think we can fix the sail, and I think we can wait it out, and I think we can work on this. And it gets to the point where they don't wake Jesus up until the boat is almost going to tip over, which if you've ever been in a boat, a storm can come up fast, but not that fast. Like, at some point in time, they're trying to fix it themselves. We often wake Jesus up as a last resort. We try ourselves first. We try our abilities first. We try to figure out what we can do first. We control, we plan, we worry, we research, we stress. And then at the very end, we pray. And we go, oh, I couldn't do it, Jesus. You're going to have to take this one. And he's looking at us going, why don't I take all of them? Why don't you come to me? Why don't you let me be a part of what you're doing? And I think the reason we do this is because we assume that peace means there won't be storms. We think if God loves us, life will be calm. But in this story, Jesus, don't forget this, Jesus leads them into the storm. He says, I'm going on the boat and you should all go with me. And off they go. And if God loves us, everything's going to be fine. But the presence of the storm does not mean the absence of God. Faith doesn't eliminate our fear. Instead, it reframes it. Being a Christian, following Jesus, knowing Jesus is in our life, doesn't mean we'll never feel this way. It means that what we're afraid of doesn't get the final word. Because the goal of our life is not control. That's not the end. There's a great saying that I will say over here, or around here a lot. You'll hear it from me. And I believe it's the lesson that all of us learn with age, that life is a relentless assault on the idea of self-control. Eventually, at the end, you will know that you were not in control of any of it. You were just along for a really wild ride. And when we start to realize that our goal is not control, and instead it's trust, it's faith, it's putting our reliance on the one who is the creator, who is the redeemer, who can tell us with assurance what our future will look like. We can remind ourselves, there have been storms before, and there will be storms to come. And we start to spin into that world of, I don't know how we're going to do this, and I don't know how we're going to get through this. And things become overwhelming. Maybe wake Jesus up. Talk to him. Because the truth is, he's not anxious. He's not afraid. The reason he doesn't wake up is he's not scared. And the reason they don't wake him up is because they are so scared, they don't know they should go to Jesus. And at some point in time, in our faith and in our life, we need to learn this lesson that we can go back to the author and creator of life, the one who redeems and sustains us. When the disciples are brave enough to go wake him up, the thing they feared was suddenly put in perspective. So let me ask it again. Have you considered waking Jesus up? Have you considered telling him what you're scared about? Because we're all scared sometimes. We're all worried about the future sometimes. But when we go to Jesus, our fear can turn into something different. It's a chance to connect with him. They make those bumper stickers, by the way. You can put it on your car that say, if you're not afraid, you're not paying attention. I saw it on a car in the wild not long ago. But I'd edit it a little bit. I'd say, if you're not recognizing you're afraid, you're not paying attention. As people, we're always going to be scared, but hear me out. That fear can make us wake Jesus up. And when we do, we begin to realize that he's been with us the whole time and he's not scared. That he will be with us the whole time and he's not afraid. And that what we were afraid of, even if it's as big as a storm that rages around us, it never stood a chance. Jesus said, peace, be still, and reminded them again that he's been with us. What's the goal? That eventually we can take the nap in the boat with him. That we can close our eyes even when the storm rages and go, well, I'm here with Jesus, so I must be okay. Because the truth is that no matter what happens, this is what Paul is writing when he says, neither life nor death, nor angels nor demons, nor things above, nor things below, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. So rest with him and find the peace that comes when we trust that Jesus is with us today, tomorrow, and always. For that good news, we give thanks, and together God's people said, amen. In fact, let's pray together. God, we pray that you would be with us. And that we would experience the things that we're worried about. That we would understand them. But then we would set them up against the truth. That you love us. That you never let us go. That you remind us that you're with us in all times, in all places, in all circumstances. That you prayed and sent your advocate to live in us so that we would never face anything alone. Teach us to find the peace that you knew. Teach us to find the peace that only comes from standing with you or resting with you or knowing that we can be there because you've already got. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.